Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thank you for listening. We have an excellent, excellent show this week. Troy Aikman from ESPN Monday Night Football is on and brutally honest about so many topics. Talked about what it was like to be in the stadium and on the air for the terrifying DeMar Hamlin medical situation. Troy gives us his perspective on that. We get a little bit into the controversy with Joe Buck and the NFL saying they never said 5 minutes warm up. We're going to replay. So Joe weighs in on that. Troy weighs in on that and talks about just what that night was like. When we get into the NFL playoffs, he's got Buccaneers Cowboys this weekend. Shares his thoughts on what could happen if the Cowboys lose. No one's better connected to the Cowboys. And Troy also talk about the other playoff matchups. Troy gives us a little review of his first year at ESPN and calling Monday Night Football after 20 years at Fox. So great interview with Troy Aikman. And then after that, we have our Train of Thought segment with Sal Licata, where we get into a little bit about the NFL playoffs and some other things going on. So excellent episode with Troy Aikman and Train of Thoughts. Before we get to it, just quickly, if you've missed any recent episodes of the SI Media Podcast, check them out in the archives. Jim Miller was on the show last week. We talked about how ESPN did a great job covering the DeMar Hamlin injury. We had a third annual year-end spectacular roundtable with Peter Schrager and Andrew Perloff 2 weeks ago. Brian Curtis from The Ringer joined me 3 weeks ago for a sports media year in review episode. Greg Olson from Fox was on the podcast recently as well. He gets a playoff game this week with Kevin Burkhardt. So if you missed any of those, go into the archives and check them out. Subscribe to the SI Media Podcast and leave a review on Apple. I will read it on the show in an upcoming episode. All right, let's get to it right now. Troy Aikman followed by Train of Thoughts right here on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now from ESPN Monday Night Football lead analyst, Troy Aikman, has a big one, wild card weekend with the Bucs and Cowboys. Troy, thanks for doing this. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jimmy. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Good to see you and Joe get a great game with Cowboys. Not necessarily a great game, but the Cowboys bring in more viewers than anyone, and then you have Tom Brady. So it's a great recipe for a wild card game for you guys to do.
It should be a lot of fun. It's the game that we were hoping for. I don't know exactly what all goes into the assignments by the league, but what I had been told was that ESPN, because of it being a Monday night game, would draw the 4 and 5 seed. It was either going to come from the AFC or the NFC, of course. And so when we saw that Tampa would be locked in as the 4, and the chance that they were going to play the Cowboys, then we said, hey, let's hope we get that one, and we did it. Yeah. So we're fired up.
It's interesting, too. If you look through the matchups, I feel like the NFL's in a weird spot. I think everyone likes more games. Everyone wants more games. They've expanded the playoffs. But, I feel like with Tua now, he's not going to play in his playoff game against the Bills. Lamar Jackson doesn't look like he's going to play against the Bengals. I wonder what if there's too many teams in there. The season is so long. Injury's a part of it. But I do think the weekend has hurt a little with those two quarterbacks out in terms of matchups. Skylar Thompson going into Buffalo is going to be tough.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
The league, the owners, the fans, the people in the press, the media, we all want the stars on the field for these games. There's no doubt. I think I would say, I don't know that everybody was in favor of more games or more playoff teams. I wasn't. And I think it was pretty good. We all understand why. There's 17 games. We all understand why they added a seventh playoff team. But I like the way that it was. I think there's something to be said for exclusivity. I think one of the formulas that has worked for the NFL has been that every week matters. I think one way to get around maybe some of what we've seen this year and we see from time to time, I think winning the division should matter. But I've heard it floated around, and I happen to probably agree. I think four teams and four divisions in each conference is probably waters it down a little bit. They probably ought to go to three, maybe two divisions within each conference. Then of course, you're going to be looking at the best teams as opposed to some division winners that maybe somebody's being left out. But with all that said, I like the fact that you can win a division, and I'm not offended at all that Seattle got in several years ago with a losing record. They beat New Orleans in the wild card round. Of course, our game with Tampa Bay, they have a losing record, but you know, those outliers kind of happen. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm torn on it. Cause I like that we're going to have a playoff game on a Monday night. That's something we've never had before. So I think that's great for the league. It's exciting. We all love it. But I do think you use the phrase watered down. I think that's the right phrase there. And I'm like, I'm with you. I want winning the division to matter. I think that's important. In the league. And I want to get into what the NFL is doing with the AFC playoffs. So let's start at the beginning and talk about DeMar Hamlin a little bit, and then we'll get into what they're doing in the playoffs, and we'll go back to Bucks and Cowboys and the rest of the playoffs. I'm glad we're taping this for everyone listening out there. We're taping this on Wednesday afternoon, and we got the news this morning that DeMar Hamlin was actually released from the hospital in Buffalo. And he is home, which I'm sure when you were in that stadium in Cincinnati on that Monday night, you probably didn't think we'd get there this quickly, given how serious
everything
was.
I wasn't sure we'd get there at all, quite honestly, Jimmy. I mean, for DeMar Hamlin to be home now, resting, and we are 9 days after it happened, is nothing short of a miracle, in my opinion, based on what I witnessed. So, just hats off to all of the first responders that were right there that made it all happen. I mean, those people, not only in this incident, but really across the country, the work that they do and to extend life is pretty remarkable. So a lot of people really well trained and put that training to, you know, good use and saved a life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A miracle, like you said. Take me through. I'm just curious, how confusing were things for you and Joe in the booth calling that? I would assume it did seem like everyone knew right away this was not a concussion situation. And by right away, I mean within the first couple of minutes, because normally player goes down automatically. Head injury is what everyone thinks. Once the CPR was administered and that report came pretty quickly, you realized it wasn't that. Just take me through for you what that was like in the beginning in terms of getting information, confusion. Maybe not. Tell me what that whole thing was like for you there.
I mean, when the hit happened, I actually started to get into something in my analysis and then recognized that there was an injured player on the field. I pivoted to that, and then we went to break. And when we looked at the replays as far as what was happening when we were at the break, it initially, yes, it looked like it was head injury. And we've seen that a lot. It didn't – I mean, it was pretty severe from what we could tell, the way that he dropped. But I unfortunately have witnessed some that were just as severe or worse in how they looked. You know, initially. So I thought, wow, what, you know, and the hit, you know, I've seen worse hits, so you can't always judge it off of that. But the way that he collapsed to the ground, you just said, oh my gosh, I mean, he is really out of it. And then we came back, and then we realized the severity of the situation, and with them administering CPR, like you said. And then it was just kind of doing what we had to do, you know, with the breaks, trying to inform the audience as best we could, not knowing exactly what direction we were going, where we were taking the broadcast, how long we were going to be with the broadcast. And then, you know, so then we go to another break, which is kind of typical. And then with each break that we took, it became more and more apparent that this is life-threatening. And to be able to watch the CPR that was being administered, you can't believe it. And that's what I say. They had a lot of people lined up. One would administer CPR until they tired, and then someone else would take over, and it went on for a while. So that's why I say from my vantage point to see what I was seeing and then, you know, try to talk about that. I thought, first of all, Jimmy, I've been with Joe Buck, obviously, for 20 plus years, and I've been with him in some really fantastic moments where he has really shined. I thought this was his finest moment in how he handled that. He did the heavy lifting that evening. And, you know, what was a sportscast, the evening started out as a sportscast, turned into a newscast very quickly. And so I was proud of Joe. I was proud of Lisa Salters. I was proud of our entire team as far as how all of that was handled. But there's no blueprint for that. And so it was just kind of flying by the seat of your pants, waiting for people to get situated. They were trying to get Scott Van Pelt back in studio. We were going back to Susie Colbert and Ryan Clark and, of course, Booger McFarland, who were outstanding as well. I thought everybody's comments were measured. I thought they were very good without trying to speculate and just trying to report the facts as we had them.
Yeah, you know, I wrote this in a column afterward and said ESPN deserved and all of the people involved deserve nothing but praise for how they handled everything in the coverage. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, Joe sort of became front and center because it became a news story. And what I wrote was, you know, it was interesting because as someone who consumes television and someone who's covering media, I was very interested in Joe and Susie and Van Pelt as quote unquote hosts and how they navigate, because I don't think the average person who's not into this doesn't understand how difficult what they had to do is with going to commercial, throwing to reporters, giving updates when there's no news.
100%.
But then I also thought you and Booger and Ryan Clark, just as important from the perspective of as I become an NFL fan, I want to hear from an ex-player on this. So, you know, I thought you guys were extremely valuable from that standpoint because, you know, at that moment, are they going to play again? Can they play again? That's where you want a player to come in and give us that perspective. So I thought everyone on air really had an important role. And everyone, like you said, I thought you could not have handled it better than everyone at ESPN that night.
Thank you.
It was crazy. You know, I don't want to labor on this because I don't know what exactly is going on and why the NFL keeps trying to throw Joe under the bus. But this whole thing with the 5-minute warm-up, do you want to weigh in on that at all? Do you want to not get involved? I this is what I will say about it. If Joe Buck goes on air and says they got to warm up for 5 minutes and they're going to resume, Joe Buck is getting that from somewhere. Joe Buck is not making that up under any circumstances. Why the NFL keeps trying to imply it, Troy Vincent, I don't understand it. If I have a choice of who I'm going to believe, the NFL or Joe Buck, I'm going to believe Joe Buck. I don't know if you want to just throw 2 cents in on that.
No, my thoughts, because I didn't hear any of that. You know, no one was talking in my ear about what was going on. I think your assessment of it is accurate, that whether that information was initially given to John Perry or whether that information was initially given to Joe Buck, it's my understanding it was the information was given to John and then John passed that along. But whether it was that information or any other information, I can assure you that Joe is not saying anything that he hasn't been told. It just doesn't work that way. So, again, I'll be honest, Jimmy, I don't keep up with a lot of what that type of stuff. I don't read most of what's in the media, not because I'm not interested, just because I got other things I got to do. You know, I got to get ready for a football game.
Right.
But to me, none of that is relevant. To me, who cares? I mean, I don't know that anyone cares. What I do care about and what people do care about is that DeMar Hamlin's at home right now in Buffalo and he's resting comfortably and he's doing well in what appears to be a full recovery on its way. And that's what matters. And I think, you know, and that sounds cliche, but it really is. I mean, I don't think anyone's walking around going, I wonder where that information came from. Or, you know, it's just
the NFL seems
Mars doing great and everybody's happy about it.
The league are the ones who have pushed that narrative for some reason. Just last thing on this. When that's going on and as we see how serious it is, and I guess you made the point before, I should point out, you know, on TV, we didn't see any of the CPR stuff because the players were surrounding Hamlin. Yeah. Obviously, you're in the broadcast booth. You probably have binoculars. You could probably see exactly. You mentioned that several people had given him CPR, which I didn't even know until you just told me that. So as you realize how serious it goes, do you and Joe have a conversation about, like, you know, let's make sure we don't speculate, or, you know, we've got to take it. I mean, obviously you have someone in your ear telling you this, but is there any conversation between you and Joe about it?
Not really. In fact, I honestly can't recall any conversation with Joe and I when we went to break. We were shocked with what all was going on. I mean, no one has ever seen that on a football field. I haven't. And nor had anyone that had been there. And the reason that we saw what was going on, Jimmy, is because we've got cable cam. So the cable cam, the sky cam, right, was above it. And we were able to see, but that wasn't that shot. Those shots were not passed along to the right viewing public. So it was, you know, people say, gosh, I don't know how you knew what to say or how that was handled. I don't know. I think you just speak from the heart, you know, and you're in those moments, and everybody's probably had moments in their life where something has happened just totally unexpected that's kind of knocked you to your knees, so to speak. And how do you respond to that? You respond, in as raw as you can, because that's what you're feeling at that time. And Joe and I, to my recollection, I maybe Joe would remember it differently, but we didn't have any conversations. You know, we often do during the course of a game. We'll go to break and we'll kind of take the headsets off, have a conversation about something. But I don't recall any conversation other than the coming from the truck saying to us, okay, we're coming back and here's where we're going with it next. And kind of got some direction in that regard.
Last thing sort of on this, it's not about the coverage of it. Obviously, this is a Lamar Hamlin story. He's making a recovery that is miraculous. Everyone's thrilled. It's surreal that he's home as we're taping this. I made sure to mention this on my podcast last week. Every single medical professional deserves major kudos for saving his life. Heroes all around. The other part of this, and for no fault of his own, is T. Higgins. So I'm just curious, as an ex-player, do you think he has any, I don't know if trouble's the right word, but will it be weird for him when he takes the field against the Ravens this weekend? Is there any, I mean, it's not his fault in any way, shape, right, or form, but he's the person involved in the play. Getting back on the field for him, what do you think that's going to be like for T. Higgins this weekend? Because I think that's a story.
I'd hate to speak for T. Higgins, but you're right. I mean, what I said earlier was, it looked like a play you could pick out 40 times in the course of a single game. You know, I didn't see a lot to it, and certainly nothing that T. Higgins did. And I think he, you know, everyone understands that and recognizes that. And I think, you know, for him, I can't imagine, you know, that he carries any of that burden with him. I hope that he doesn't, but my guess is that he'll go out and he'll continue to play, and he'll continue to play at a really high level.
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrible that he's sort of, you know, connected in that way. Maybe once he gets on the field, it all comes back to him and it's natural and goes about its business. So one of the products of all this, and I know this is not important on a grand scale of things, but the playoffs are here. The games are going to be played. And I personally hate the way the NFL sort of has handled this with the neutral site game for the AFC championship game. Now, I know the flip side of that is, well, what are they supposed to do? What's your answer for how to fix that? I just, you know, we talked about before the divisions meaning something. I think home field having the best records should mean something. You know, do we just chalk it up to, like, listen, we had some crazy circumstances, this is the best option? Or am I crass for complaining that I hate the fact that if it's Bills Chiefs, it's at a neutral? And, you know, they haven't announced where it's going to be. If they put it in a dome, then it's really bad. Like, these are two outdoor teams. It's January. We want cold weather when we watch a game. Like, it should be played, you know, Chicago, Green Bay, do something like that. But they haven't announced that yet. But if they put it in a dome, it's going to be even worse from my perspective. What do you think about it?
Well, I think that, you know, you have a podcast and you're a media personality, and this is what you guys do. I mean, you debate these things, you talk about it, and all that's natural. So I understand it, and I understand that why you or maybe some others don't like it. I don't know. I try to put myself in the league's shoes and just, you know, because that game obviously had huge ramifications. But right away, I felt, first of all, as it relates to that night, said there's no way they're going to play a football game tonight.
Right.
And then there was talk that they might play the next night. And I went home. I said, they're not playing tomorrow night either. I mean, I'm going home. I'm not going to hang around in a hotel. ESPN didn't even release everybody until late the next day, but I said, I'm going home. So
did you get in trouble?
No, I didn't get in trouble. I would have if I hadn't been able to get back for the game. But yeah, I just felt like there's no way they can play this game. And then you start trying to figure out, okay, well, can they play the game? You know, this was a Monday night game. So if they're not playing it Monday and they're not playing it Tuesday, well, they can't play it Wednesday and then turn around on a short week and then get the rest of the games in. So I was pretty quick to kind of say, they can't play this game. You know, they're not going to start moving the playoff schedule around. The Super Bowl can't be moved. I mean, so it's just, it becomes way too much. But with that said, I clearly understood, you know, how is this going to be handled exactly? Because of you know, you've got Kansas City, of course, with interest in that game, Cincinnati, and then Buffalo, but you also have Baltimore. But Baltimore then lost the day before against Pittsburgh, or the night before. So, but I think, quite honestly, I mean, I'm not a shill for the NFL, but I do think that, I think those are hard jobs. And when you really start trying to factor in everything that goes into making sense of all that, I think they did as good a job as they could do, which more times than not, I believe that they do. And it is what it is. And knowing that there were going to be teams that were going to be upset about it. And I agree. I mean, I think one of the things, as far as what you said, the greatest weekend – well, this upcoming weekend, wild card weekend, and divisional weekend are my favorites because of the games on Saturday and Sunday, and now, of course, ours on Monday. But championship weekend, the thing I'll miss most about not working at Fox is not calling the NFC championship game, because that's always a great, great weekend. I love it. And for those fans of those teams that have been following those teams, and whoever then would have had the chance to host that game, not being able to, and that fan base not being a part of that, to me, that's the most disappointing thing. But, you know, we've been disappointed a lot. We were during COVID. It happens, and off we go.
One solution I heard that I liked was resuming the Bills-Bengals game this weekend along with the NFC wildcard games. Give the AFC wildcard games a bye. The next week, you play the AFC wildcard games. NFC gets a bye. And then you push everything back where the championship game would be played in the bye week between championship game and Super Bowl. And then you don't have that week off. That was the solution I liked. But clearly the NFL...
Could you repeat that? Could you repeat that, Jimmy?
Sure. Okay. Here we go. No, this weekend. I think it's the perfect solution. Yeah. And here's what makes me nervous about this. And maybe I'm just paranoid. I heard Peter King, who is pretty plugged into the league...
Yeah.
Peter did a radio interview this week with Chris Mad Dog Russo on Sirius. And Peter said he's heard rumblings that maybe this is sort of a tryout where the AFC and NFC championship games become like the Super Bowl and get played at neutral fields and it becomes this big event. And you're almost having like three Super Bowls. And I would really hate that because, like I said, I think home field. And I mean, you want to see a game in Arrowhead, you want to see a game in Lambeau. That's what you want to, you know.
I agree. I wouldn't like that. And you know, there's the side of me that thinks, well, I'm more of a traditionalist, but there is the side of me that thinks, gosh, if everybody had thought like I thought, you know, we'd still be playing a 12 game schedule and, you know, things would look a lot different. But I think we have to be really, really careful. As a league, I think that I will say The NFL has, they're really good at making a lot of money. I mean, they're really good at that. And I don't begrudge them for that. I say good for them and marketing the NFL. And we watch all the popularity of the sport and of the top 100 shows, 80 something of them were NFL games this year. I mean, I love all that. I just would like to see more emphasis on improving the product on the field. You know, I'd like to see there's be some interest in that as well. It seems like all these decisions are made to increase revenue, which is great, but then it's less time on the field for players and it's less time here. And then, you know, and the product begins to erode a little bit. And I think we've got to be really, really careful about that. And I've been saying that for a while.
Is there something specifically when you talk about the product eroding? Is there something specific that you could touch on?
I think it's the fundamentals of the sport. You know, football is the only sport that you can't practice it the way that you play it. You know, all the other sports you get to go practice and then go out and play, and football you don't. And so, you know, we see. The fundamentals of tackling aren't what they once were. Player safety is another area where the league has been really good, and rightfully so, and they've done a great job, and the game has gotten a lot safer. But, I mean, there were games, Jimmy, that we watched this year.
Yeah.
And I won't say what network most of them were on, I had to ask myself, is this professional football? I mean, there was some bad football being played, and that's not good.
I feel like you're testing me because when I set up the interview with you, I said, am I going to have the balls to ask Troy, are you happy you didn't go to Amazon given what the schedule was?
All I'll say to that, Jimmy, is I'm happy where I'm at.
I'm sure you are. And it's funny when you said the NFL is good at making money. I was going to say so are NFL analysts, but I didn't want to interrupt you. So on that note, tell me about your first year at Monday Night Football. How was it for you? You were at Fox for so long. I would imagine going to Monday Night, it would have been way more different if you didn't have Joe, but you had your partner for the last 20 years there. But give us a little summary of your first year at ESPN and Monday Night Football after
it was fantastic. And you're right. The best part of that was being able to continue to work with Joe. It's what we wanted. We never didn't want to continue to work together. So once I decided to go to ESPN, the fact that he then was able to come along and join me made the deal just that much better. And in a lot of ways, it really galvanized our friendship. We were always friends, really close friends. He's one of my closest friends. But there could have been last year during all of that where I could have said, hey, Joe's been great, loved working with him, but I'm ready to kind of move on. And he could have said the same thing to Fox. Hey, would love to have continued with Troy, but I'm here and I want to stay here and continue to work with whoever. And neither one of us did that. We both wanted to work together and we did everything we could to make that happen. And it happened. So I think it's even brought our friendship even that much closer. And so getting an opportunity to work with him was great. The schedule being on Monday night has been great. I like it being a standalone game. I like the pacing of the week getting ready. I love being home watching all of the games every weekend, which is great. So from a lifestyle's perspective and then professionally speaking, it's been awesome. When the actual schedule came out, it looked like we had a really strong schedule. And that's been the downfall for Monday Night Football is that you get your slate of games and it is what it is. And it's because, you know, there was a time back when I was playing when they handed out Monday Night Football. The teams that you thought were going to be good were good. And the teams you didn't think were going to be good weren't very good. And so it was a lot easier. I say easier, no offense to Howard Katz, because he's going to say it's been anything but easy. But so our schedule came out. It looked really strong. And then teams that we thought were going to be good just weren't very good. We had a Packers-Rams game in December that when it came out, we said, this is going to be unbelievable. And the Packers wound up climbing their way back into relevancy, but the Rams were totally out of it. So the game wasn't as important, of course. But next year, we go into flex scheduling, and that will really help. So the only downside for me, and I think I can speak for Joe on this as well, is that at Fox, we had a compelling matchup every week. Didn't mean that we always had a great game, but we always had a compelling matchup at least going in. That wasn't the case. But having done the Thursday night schedule for 4 years and having had a number of games that weren't relevant, we were a little bit accustomed to that. And so we've gotten through this year. We've got a great finish. We finished up week 18 with a great, essentially a playoff game with Jacksonville and Tennessee. And now we've got this blockbuster game with Dallas and Tampa Bay in the wild card game. And then next year we move into flex scheduling and it should be a lot better.
Flex scheduling will be huge next year for Monday Night Football. The three teams that killed every network, not just you, were the Rams, Broncos, and Colts, because it seemed like, especially the Rams and Broncos were on all the time, it seemed like.
Well, we let off with the Broncos and we got them week one. So
that was a good game.
How bad they were yet.
Yeah.
That was, against Seattle. So that was a really big debut for us. We had them again. And then we had the Colts twice as well. And we had the Colts twice within 4 weeks or something like that with Jeff Saturday and when they were just done. So yeah, it made it tough for sure. I thought the Colts were going to be one of those teams, really not a sleeper, because I thought they were pretty good last year, but I thought they were going to be contenders. And I, along with a lot of other people, couldn't have been more wrong.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Now, I'm going to put you in a tough spot here because you're doing the games for ESPN, so you're going to love flex scheduling. But tell me about the players, though. Do you think – now, on a flex on a Sunday, a games get moved from 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock. With Monday night, it's going to get flexed from a Sunday to a Monday. Will that have any effect on players, or you think not a big deal?
No, I think it has an impact. I don't know exactly when they'll be notified. When the teams will be notified. I don't know.
I've heard it's going to be the same thing as Sunday night, where it's going to be like 12 days beforehand.
They get a little bit of time, but it's disruptive to the players and it's disruptive to the fans. And I think everyone recognizes that because you're moving it to another night, of course, but we'll see how it works. I think everyone's kind of wondering how that will play out. And what it might look like. And I'm as interested as anyone because, flex scheduling, at least this is what I was always told when I was at Fox, when Sunday Night Football would cherry pick one of our games, that flex scheduling is not intended to give you the best game. It's intended to take away a bad game. Although I would say that I think Sunday Night Football has pushed the envelope on that one, which ultimately is the league.
Yeah.
So my hope is that we're just playing on a level playing field. And,
right.
and however flex scheduling has been working for the last however many years for NBC is the way it will continue with ESPN.
Yeah. And you say it's not for the fans. It's not for the fans who have to go to games. But for fans on TV, flex scheduling is the greatest thing imaginable because we get better.
Yeah, I think so. I think at the end of the day, it's a win because the fans and the NFL on a primetime game, especially a Monday night, I would argue that Monday night needs or deserves a more marquee game than any other time slot because there's no lead in to it. At least Sunday night, you've got a lead in with the other games. Monday night, you got a standalone Monday night game with no lead in.
Interesting. I never thought of that, but I think sometimes people are just burnt out, but I'm not. I've heard from other – to me, there could be football on every day of the week. I'm going to watch it. But I've heard some people say by Monday night they're burnt out on the NFL.
Well, let me say this, Jimmy. If we'll find out how burned out they are this Monday night.
Right.
Something tells me that come Monday night, America's not going to be burned out on football after Saturday and Sunday of playoff football. And so my point is that – If you put a good game up, people are going to watch it.
Right.
I don't 100%. Care how much football they've watched.
Well, I'm glad you went there because let's get into Bucks and Cowboys a little bit. I mean, you're in Dallas. You're a Cowboy legend. How bad is it going to be if the Cowboys lose this game?
Well,
I mean, give me a little feel for down there in Dallas. Like, I would assume that this would be catastrophic if they lose in the first round here to an
8-9 it seems like we've felt that way a lot of years going into the postseason.
Right.
And then it happens and Armageddon doesn't happen. You know, I mean, it's just kind of like, well, they're back the next year and off and running. But I think there's a lot of angst right now. I've been listening to some talk radio. Everyone's posing that question, you know, what if, what might happen? And Jerry Jones has already come out and said that Mike McCarthy's job is not in jeopardy. I've heard Jerry Jones say a lot of things over the years and he's changed his mind sometimes, within just a couple minutes. So I would not put any weight into his comments with that. But yeah, I mean, this is the time of the year, if you will, that the Cowboys get a chance to show what they're about. Nobody cares about 12 wins. I mean, that's not what this franchise is. And it's about postseason. And it's not about winning a wild card game either. It's about winning championships. And it's been a long time. And that's why Mike McCarthy was brought to Dallas. You know, when Jerry Jones hired him at that press conference, he didn't say, I'm hoping that we can win the division and we can win a wild card game. He said, he's here to win a world championship. So, I think there's tremendous pressure on Mike, and I think the world of Mike, and he's done a good job. But he's got to feel that. I would think Dak Prescott feels that, and we'll see how they're able to play. I mean, they're a better football team than Tampa Bay, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. The problem for Dallas over the years has been that they've had these great regular seasons, but it always seems like they come into the playoffs just not really playing their best football.
Right.
And then what happened on Sunday against Washington, where that was just a total debacle, and you know, how will they respond now playing on the road? Can they play their best football when it matters most? For 30 years, they haven't been able to do that.
And what makes it perfect is they have to go through the greatest quarterback of all time, who somehow at 45 years old is still good. I mean, it's surreal.
Yeah, you know, it is. It is, because I know how my body felt at 34 when I retired. And,
right.
and here he is, 45, and yet he's still able to do some things that are hard to imagine. You know, it's no surprise he knows how to win. And that sounds pretty generic, but I think the position over the years, I think quarterbacks haven't been trained the way quarterbacks once were. And what I mean by that is quarterbacks grow up in these 7-on-7 leagues and they're throwing a lot of passes, and that's good. You know, my daughter, she played soccer. Both my daughters, they played soccer and they'd play outdoors. And then when they went to the winter, they'd play indoors on a smaller field and they get more touches on the ball and they'd improve that much more. So the reason I think that quarterbacks come into the league so much more prepared, one is at a very young age, they're playing all these different leagues, they're passing leagues, and they're just getting a lot more reps at it. And then they get into high school and they do their offense and the college and the pros and all that. But along the way, you don't take sacks when you're in field goal range, and you don't when you're leading by three. That you play the position differently than if you're trailing by 10. And if your defense is playing great, you play one way. And if you're, you know, there's a lot that factors into how you play the position of quarterback. And there's a lot of quarterbacks, I think, that just go play, and every series is the same. They don't really pay attention to everything that's going on. Tom Brady is an old school quarterback in that regard, and he knows how to win. He knows what he has to do and what the team has to do, who he's playing against, what his defense is doing, situations in games that give him the best chance to win. This offensive line has had a lot of issues this year, right? I mean, they've had the injuries up front. They've had some shuffling that they've had to deal with. Tom Brady, I kid with him about it. I mean, he's the most unathletic quarterback in the game right now. You know, I mean, I'm 56 years old, and I'm pretty confident I could outrun him in 40 yard dash.
He's still great at the sneak, though. He's still master. Oh, yeah.
That means nothing. So here they've had these line problems. Tom's not, he's not an elusive
can't move
quarterback, yeah. And yet they've given up the least sacks in the NFL. Why is that? It's because he will not take a sack.
Right.
He'll get the ball out. He doesn't create negative plays. And that's why any team that's playing a quarterback like him, one, he's the greatest to ever do it. But then also coaches know, they see that, they recognize, hey, this guy, you can't keep him in it. He's proven that every year, but he's especially proven it this year. You give him a chance in the fourth quarter, it's going to be a tough finish.
Yeah. Now, when you speak to him before the game for Monday night, will you ask him about his future, or you won't ask that because you're going into a playoff game? Because, I mean, we have a playoff game here with Tom Brady, and it's going to be anarchy if the 8-9 Bucks beat the Cowboys and all that stuff. But everyone still wants, is he going to play next year? Is he going to retire?
Right.
I mean,
he's not going to. I mean, I'll ask him.
I owe
the fans the question. So I'll ask him, but he's not going to. Tom, yeah. I consider Tom a friend, and he's pretty candid with me, but he's not going to say what he's going to do. My guess is he knows. I don't think this is one of those where he's going to step back and try to decide. My guess is Aaron Rodgers knows, for that matter. But Tom, my guess is he knows what he wants to do. And if it means he'll play, maybe it means he'll play somewhere else. Maybe it means that he'll play if the Bucks get this player, but I think he has a pretty clear vision of what his future is going to look like. But right. I'd be shocked if he shared it with me.
This is just me as a fan. I'm a diehard Yankee fan. I love the fact that Derek Jeter spent his whole career at the Yankees. You were always a Cowboy, nothing else. Cowboy, like a Tom Brady should not be bouncing around from teams. Like, you're Tom freaking Brady. Should just, you know, like, yeah. don't be a journeyman. I don't like that for him.
Yeah,
he should
I don't
be above that.
I don't like it either. I'm like you. I like to see a guy just stick around, but it's just become harder and harder. You know, I didn't want to see Peyton Manning leave Indianapolis, and you know, there he went. So
Joe Montana in Kansas City.
Montana. It is a part of it. But
let me ask you this: throw out your game, Bucks Cowboys, because I do think that's the best game of the weekend. Niners, Seahawks, Jaguars, Chargers, Bills, Dolphins, Vikings, Giants, Bengals, Ravens. If you could only watch one other game this weekend, or call one other game, game you're most looking forward to besides yours, what do you think it is?
Yeah, if I answer the question the way you asked it, I would say the Giants-Minnesota game would be the game that
everyone's really picking the Giants. I don't know if you've got a feel for that, but everyone's picking the Giants.
A couple things. I would say the fact that the Giants are in the playoffs is pretty incredible. because this was a rebuilding year.
Right.
I mean, we had them early. I know what they were going through, what they were dealing with. Brian Daboll and those players and the rest of the staff deserve, you know, a ton of credit, of course. But what Brian Daboll was able to do, awfully impressive. The other side of this that I just have not heard enough of, I think Pete Carroll, I think Brian Daboll will win Coach of the Year, but Pete Carroll should be right there as well, because we had them in the preseason and there was no one who thought they'd win more than five games. Yeah. I mean, nobody. Yeah. And yet I think in some ways, I've said this in other years about Pete, probably his best job of coaching of his career. And, yeah. and that's saying something, because he's done a great job in other years when they were kind of transitioning to a different group of guys and all that they went through. So pretty amazing. But there's some guys on the on that list as far as Coach of the Year. I think Doug Peterson, to be able to turn that program around midseason, and a team that has had no success outside of 2017. I mean, no success. It's hard to change a team anyway, but to do it midseason the way that he was able to is really significant. But yeah, the game, I'm excited about all of them, but the other game that I would say that I look forward to watching is San Francisco, because I just love the way Kyle Shanahan, I just love what he does offensively. It's my favorite offense to watch. I like how they tie in the passing game to the run game. If I could hire anybody, if I was a general manager, Kyle Shanahan would be the guy.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because you talked about sort of the job Pete Carroll did flying under the radar and not getting the coverage it deserved. I thought at the time it didn't get the coverage it deserved at all, and that was the Niners getting Christian McCaffrey. Oh, I mean, yeah. I understand he's banged up a lot. This year he's been healthy. But for that team to be at that level, to acquire that guy, yeah. I was like, this is a game changer here. And I felt like it almost flew under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, I had a, you know, this is going to sound like I'm patting myself on the back.
Go ahead, do it, do it.
But I had a buddy of mine who's really involved in the league and said, felt that trade was a head scratcher. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, I think it's phenomenal. I mean, I think it's an unbelievable trade for San Francisco.
Absolutely.
And other teams could have made that trade and I wouldn't have felt the same way. But the reason I felt that it was going to be great was because of what I just said about Kyle, that I think McCaffrey is such a unique talent. Right. And he has been banged up, and keeping him healthy, of course, is the issue. But with the team struggling in Carolina, you know, he was getting lost. And so for him to be able to go back to an area that he's familiar with, having gone to Stanford, and join Kyle Shanahan, I said, nobody's going to get as much out of this guy as Kyle is. And that's what's happened. So I would have been totally shocked if he had gone there and was just barely contributing and wasn't right. helping the team out much at all. I thought it was just a great
just
trade.
Just a perfect fit. Perfect fit. And then you have that, I mean, that trio with him and Debo and Kittle is now, what do you think? I mean, listen, I've got one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time here. Brock Purdy, rookie, not a ton of experience. I mean, he's played well, but it's only still been a handful of games.
Can he
get through it all and get them to the Super Bowl?
I think he can. I mean, I've not met Brock. We had San Francisco when they played Arizona in Mexico City. And so he came in off the bench at the end of the game, just doing mop up duty because San Francisco was winning so big. And, you know, Joe got into the story about his nickname on the team is Baby Bosa, because he's got these big legs like Joey Bosa, you know? So, or Nick Bosa. So, we started, we were kind of having some fun and laughing about it a little bit. And he did, you know, he basically handed off, didn't do a whole lot really in that game. But then the next thing we know, he's playing. And to be, you know, Mr. Irrelevant and to step in and do what he's been able to do, you talk to people on the 49ers team and they all say that he just carries himself like a veteran and he gets after guys if they're not doing what, you know, that's not easy to do, especially a veteran team that's enjoyed the success that San Francisco has had that's a pretty daunting position for a rookie to step into and be able to do what he's been able to do. So he's proven that he can play in the big game already. They're going to get bigger. But, yeah, I think he can. He's not one of these that I worry about. I don't view him as a liability for that franchise going into the postseason.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be fun to see if he can. You know, I mean, they that team is set up to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC. So,
oh yeah, yeah. And Kyle's done a great job too. I mean, they got off to a slow start, and
yeah.
That's the problem though. When you win all the time, like he does, you don't get to be coach of the year because it's expected.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's it. Like LeBron never wins MVP because he just puts up, 30 and 15 every night. To wrap up, let me go back to you, your first year with Monday Night Football with Joe. I'm just curious. I felt like this was maybe more the case for Joe than for you, but you said earlier, you don't pay attention to the media stuff, but did you feel at all? And we've talked about this before. I've talked about this with Joe at Fox. While you did do big games on the 425 slot that would go to most of the country, with the Monday night, it's a standalone game. It's 100% of the country. Did you feel like there was more attention on you guys this year? Or, and I don't mean negative. I mean just anything, positive, everything. Like, did you feel more of a spotlight on you given that you were on Monday night in a standalone game?
I think the game, the going into the games. You certainly are aware that it's a standalone game. It's primetime television. It's Monday Night Football. So yeah, I think from that standpoint, absolutely, felt that there's the eyes of the league and everyone around the league is watching that game. I know for the last, going back to when I was 10 years old, I mean, I've been watching Monday Night Football my whole life, and it's become, especially as a player and then as a broadcaster, it just was my Monday night. I'd come home and start watching Monday Night Countdown and right into the games and then start getting ready for my next broadcast on Tuesday. So, it's fun being a part of it. It feels big. It's going to get bigger. And glad to be a part of it as it does.
It was fun. Like I said, I felt like there were these, I mean, you probably didn't even hear about them, but there were every couple of weeks, there'd be these lighthearted, ridiculous controversies surrounding something. You know, there was, when you guys went on SVP a couple of weeks ago and Joe said, I only get one question. People took that as they thought Joe and Scott were in this serious beef. I mean, I had people tweeting me, but I'm like, they're like, why didn't you write about this? I'm like, because they were kidding. They were not being serious. They're friends, so that's what I mean about more, you guys did a game in Tampa late in the season. I forgot who the Bucks played, but it was late in the season. And Joe was like really excited during the intro were having a field day with that. So, that's what I meant by more attention and more, I will say too, go ahead. And then I'll,
well, no, I think it's funny. I know I know the game you're talking about. I know the moment you're talking about with Joe on the open. And, what's funny is we do a little rehearsal before we actually go live, and he did the rehearsal that way. And I was laughing. I mean, I'm a pretty good audience for Joe. I always tell him that he makes me laugh. So I'm laughing about it during the rehearsal. Never in a million years did I expect, but he clowns around all the time like that. I never imagined that he was going to come on air live and do it. So it was, I thought it was pretty funny. I think it was almost kind of him wanting to show to me, hey, I'm willing to do it. I'll go there or whatever it is. And then the Scott Van Pelt stuff, I guess I don't know that I've ever cared too much about any of that stuff. I'm just amazed that people even, who cares? Like if Joe and Scott had something going, which they don't. Who cares?
Well, everyone loves a good cat fight.
Like, I'm his partner, and I don't care. Okay, great. Let's move on and what's going on.
As someone who covers this stuff, let me tell you something. There's nothing people love more than a media fight between two media members.
Really?
You know that. I don't even want to mention the guy's name, but people love when two media people go at it. They love it.
I suppose.
The funny thing about the Joe with the intro was that it, everyone was tweeting, like, what did Joe drink before the game? How many drinks? I was thinking maybe Troy gave him some eight beer. There it is. I was going to say.
Hopefully it was an eight beer. I can't verify that there was any up there, but if he did, I hope it was an eight.
Well, I said this to Joe, I think, the last time I had him on, and we'll wrap it with this. The one thing that's got to make you guys happy, I think, and I don't know how aware you are of this, but when you guys did go to Monday night, what I saw across the board from viewers was, this feels like a big game because Joe and Troy are doing it. Mm-hmm. You guys give it a big game feel that, no disrespect to anyone else who has done Monday night over the years recently, but you know, you guys are together for 20 years. Yeah. Your voices mean something. And the big theme for Monday night this year with you guys moving over, which got so much attention in the offseason, was you hear Joe and Troy, you see Joe and Troy, big game feel. So that has to make you feel good.
No doubt. Yeah, 100%, Jimmy. I mean, it's a great compliment. You know, it means that I get it, because, you know, fans at home have heard us call a lot of big games. And you think about all the NFC championship games we've called, and we've called six Super Bowls together. And then, of course, all the regular season meaningful games and playoff games. So I think then people do get accustomed, much like I did with John Madden and Pat Summerall. You know, you just get accustomed to those voices. And when you hear them, you know that it's something big that's about to happen. So it's a huge compliment. There's no doubt about it. And for those who feel that way, I would just say thank you. I mean, I really am humbled by that. It means a lot. It's probably the greatest compliment that I can have. If hearing my voice and hearing Joe and I's voices together on a broadcast brings a level of comfort, and then also an expectation of something big that's about to happen, gosh, that's the greatest compliment a broadcaster could be given.
And it will be a big game feel for sure on Monday night in Tampa with the Cowboys and Bucks. Perfect matchup there with all the pressure on the Cowboys, and then obviously Tom being Tom. So we look forward to it. Enjoy it. And we will all be watching. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it, Troy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jim.
All right. Take care. Have a good game.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, joining me now for our weekly Train of Thoughts segment from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, my buddy Sal Acata. Sal, how are we doing this week?
Good. You sound much, much better.
I sound better, but I'm having a lot of problems.
Really?
Yeah. I actually feel worse now than when I tested positive for COVID. I get headaches every day now.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's bad. But my voice is better.
I figured you sound good. I'm like, all right, you're back on the mend. Good to go.
No, I've actually had a lot of problems this week. But It's okay. I'll be okay. We got the wild card weekend. My voice is better, so focus on the positive.
Greatest weekend. These 2 weekends, I know you love March Madness. To me, these are the 2 greatest weekends in sports. I cannot
wait. No. I don't think March Madness even comes close to comparing to these weekends. Okay.
Maybe when I was younger
and I went to Vegas for the tournament. Now that I'm an old fuck and I don't go anywhere. No. My favorite weekends are the weekends in, I guess it's October, when you get the MLB playoffs with the NFL regular season with the college football. Those are my favorite weekends, more than the tournament. Okay.
I love opening day, but I love, like, these 2 weekends, better than Super Bowl, better than Championship Sunday. These two weekends are just, I can't wait. I live for it. I love it.
I agree. I do think the best weekend is the conference championship games. But the conference championship games for me are what New Year's Eve is to you.
Yes,
I get very sad and depressed for conference championship Sunday because that's the end of the season for me. Like, that's it. It's over after that. And it's a very depressing day. I don't count the Super Bowl. Super Bowl is nonsense. It's a very depressing day when the conference championships are over.
Agreed. I think once the divisional round ends, it's like, uh-oh, there are only 3 games left. That's where it's like, ah, crap.
Now, where do you – I just had Troy Aikman on, and we talked about this because he's got, in my opinion, the best game of the weekend on Monday night with Bucks Cowboys. Maybe they've got the sexiest game with the Cowboys and Tom Brady. Now, you're usually very, very, you know
what?
What's the word I'm looking for? You're very opinionated about these things. How do you feel about this is the first year we got a wild card game on Monday night?
Wait, we didn't have it last year?
Oh, did we have it? I don't remember. I thought we did
have it last year, if I'm not mistaken. I don't.
What game was it?
I couldn't tell you that. But the Super Wild Card Weekend last year was the first one I thought, but I couldn't tell you the game. Must have been memorable. Oh, was it Cardinals Rams maybe, where the Cardinals and Kyler Murray sucked?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because I bet the Cardinals that day. Because I hate Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, and yet I got sucked into betting them, and they completely laid an egg, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't mind it because I'm working Monday. So I come into work, I have the game on. It's not like it's a holiday where I'm being inconvenienced. Yeah. I like that. I don't love it as much. I'd rather 3 games Saturday, 3 games Sunday, but I'm fine with the Monday night.
Right. Basically, what they did was they took the game off of Saturday at 1 and they put it on Monday night at 8:15.
Right. So you get started 4:30 Saturday. So whatever it is that you got to do with your wife, your kids, you do that shit Saturday morning. Then come 4:30, you're gone. That's what I'm doing. I mean, you could follow my advice or not. 4:30, I'm out for the weekend. Not just Saturday, for the weekend. See you Tuesday.
Has that been established already?
No, it has not.
Exactly. There'll be a surprise somewhere along the way. Because that's a long – listen, that's a long time because you got to get locked in Saturday at 4:30 till Sunday night at midnight. It's a long time to be not changing diapers or not doing a bottle, not feeding.
There's a little window Sunday morning, I guess, but –
Sundays, until 1 o'clock.
No, this is a non. These two next weekends are non-negotiable weekends.
All right. What will you be betting this weekend?
Yes, absolutely. Hopefully, I can contain myself. I've been good all year long, but this weekend is where I go animalistic. This is
the
not-
way you said yes. There's no chance you're containing yourself. You said yes like a savage.
Oh baby, I'm all about it. I'll be making parlay bets and teasers, in-game bets. These standalone playoff games, I can't get enough of.
So what do you like in terms of betting? In terms of betting, what do you like?
You mean these games in particular?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about like style? All right. Well,
no, these games. Is there a game that jumps out to you?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cowboys, and I'm probably going to take the Vikings. Now, I haven't figured out how I'm going to do it yet, and I will bet every game. It's just a matter of which ones I love.
You just said, can you show restraint?
Well, I mean by the amount per game. I don't mean by restricting the game. And then you get doubled down because you lose one, and then you're in game.
The text I'm going to get in the middle of the day on Sunday is going to be just so depressing. Now, are you betting?
Usually I'm out by Saturday night.
Oh, that text. I can't wait. Now, do you like the Vikings and Cowboys because everyone loves the Giants and Bucks?
Yes. I think
I know you like a buck.
100%. People are. And the one thing that would scare me about betting against the Giants, A, I don't trust the Vikings or Kirk Cousins. B, I do trust Brian Daboll. But the fact that everybody is going to be on the Giants because of their close loss in week 16, that does not make any sense to me. And I know Dallas laid an egg against Washington this past weekend. Dallas is significantly better than the Bucs are. I don't care where that game is being played. So I will be 100%. I'll be on Dallas. That's probably my best bet, and probably Minnesota because the public is on the Giants.
The Dallas one, I think they're going to lose. I just, the way they're playing,
they've looked awful. I know.
Oh, I don't see them turning it around.
I've been riding them all year. I believe that Dak has been terrible with the interceptions. The Buccaneers stink. So I'm not going to overreact to week 18. I'm going to stay disciplined here and believe that the Cowboys are going to be moving on one way or another. Maybe
they stink. You got to be careful, though. They stink, but.
Brady.
You know. I think the Vikings, I mean, yeah, I don't understand everyone betting the Giants. I mean, yes, the coach is great, blah, blah. I don't understand how everyone's just like slam dunk Giants. Like, the Vikings have a lot of talent.
And the Giants don't. The Giants are coached very well.
Right.
But they don't have the talent. And if that talent shows up, it could get ugly. Because I don't think the Giants could do offensively what Minnesota could do if everything goes Minnesota's way.
We're taping this on Wednesday. I already bet the Bills.
What's that line at now? It's over.
Well,
10,
now
right?
It's like 13.
Yeah.
What'd I you have get it at? I think 7.5 or 8 or something like that.
Wow.
Because I didn't think Tua was going to play.
Yeah. And he's out. Is Lamar Jackson out or what's Jackson?
Yeah, he's out. Yeah, he's out.
Ah, that sucks. See, that's the problem with this weekend. Two games, you got backup quarterbacks. That Bengals Ravens game would be huge if Jackson was playing.
I talked about that with Troy, that there's too many teams in the playoffs and this is what happens. And then you got
two.
I think the Ravens, I don't know. I was going to say they'll keep it competitive. Maybe they won't. They probably won't. I don't know.
What's the line in that game?
The Bills game is going to be, the Bills game is not, you don't even have to, there's a game you can maybe skip out on if you got to skip a playoff game is Sunday at 1 because Skylar Thompson can't go into Buffalo and win. Yeah.
Yeah. Buffalo got to buy anyway. There's just no way. You're right. It's going to be a non-competitive game. At least the Ravens might be able to be competitive with the Bengals. Right. The Dolphins will not.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think for me, the most interesting game to watch is Monday night with the Bucks and the Cowboys because there's so much pressure on the Cowboys. And then you have the greatest quarterback of all time. And who knows what'll happen if the Cowboys lose.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I got to ask you, as a Met fan, the Carlos Correa situation, I think, is one of the funniest things I've ever seen, because I don't have any dog in the fight. But when the Mets lost him, were you pissed or you didn't care? Or
no. So I was disappointed, but it's a unique situation where there's really nobody to be angry at. For years, I could be mad at the Mets for not being involved in these big name guys. Now the owner goes out there and agrees to a $350 million deal. But because of the medicals or the physical, whatever, they don't like the medicals, they have to renegotiate. And obviously they weren't willing to go to where the Twins were. So can I be mad at the Mets? I can't be mad at the Mets. I can't be mad at Correa for taking $200 million guaranteed that he was getting from nobody else. So it sucks that it went down like this, but the player that the Mets were excited about getting, he's clearly not that. He's damaged goods, because he went from well over $300 million to only $200 guaranteed. So it sucks, but there's nowhere to be angry at.
Well, I don't understand how he fails a physical with the Giants and Mets, but he passes it with the Twins.
Me neither.
And different also, you know, see different things.
I mean, come on.
I thought it was strange when the Mets signed him, only because why wouldn't the Giants have sealed the deal? They went out and made that crazy offer and then they backed off. So you knew there had to be something there, but I don't know.
And we didn't know all the details. It was just that they were concerned with something. And then Boris made it seem like he didn't want to wait, so he was going to pivot immediately to Steve Cohen. So he called Cohen. Then they worked out the deal. So it wasn't like he came out and said, this is what the issue is. The Mets agreed to a deal after Boris pivoted quickly. And then obviously they saw the medicals and said, we're not doing that. We can't do it. So it sucked. Bottom line, I'd love to see Correa in a Mets uniform this year. I thought he was the missing piece, as the owner said, but not going to happen.
It's just so weird. It's so weird.
I've never seen anything like that before.
No, me neither.
Deals and then signs with the third team.
Right. It would have been great if there was a third team. The fact that it was the Twins where he was makes it. I would have liked another third team to get in there, fail the physical again, then the Twins. Make it three would have been better. Did you watch any of the college football championship game?
Yeah, but come on. It's a friggin' embarrassment. And the only thing I'm mad at is that I didn't bet Georgia, because I know better. And I didn't watch any college football this year. But right. I used to love college football, and I used to bet on it all the time. My core principle is conference. And I got sucked into people scaring me that, oh, TCU might be able to compete. I know better. I don't have to watch. I know Georgia is going to smoke TCU. That was a bad look for college football.
I agree. I was out at the. I didn't watch any of the second half, but they've got to do something. They play that championship game way too late. It was like 9:30 in the morning that morning, and I'm listening to like Boomer and Geo, and they mentioned, you know, oh, the title game. I forgot it's even going on. It's way too late. It's after the last regular season weekend of the NFL. Like, they've got to put that game on another day. It's that Monday night. I hate it. It's just not, it doesn't feel like college football season anymore. That's the problem I have with it.
So where would you put it though? On a weekend?
Well, someone on Twitter had said put it on the Friday or Thursday before the NFL weekend starts. And I like that idea a lot better.
All right, maybe that. Yeah, I could see that.
And I missed the first 15 minutes of the game, because right when the game started, the game started at 7:30, and about 7 o'clock, my mother calls me and says, can you come over? The TV on the wall fell down.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's a problem.
I'm like, all right, well, the championship game's starting in about 10 minutes, but good timing. Right. I went there, the TV was hanging off the wall. I'm like, well, what do you want me to do? I'm not Andy. I can't do anything. Oh, well, you calling me? I said, call Uncle Joe. I don't know what to do.
But what
we just took it off the brackets and put it on the floor because it was hanging. I was like, yeah, because I'm like, what do you think? I'm fixing. I can't even. If I successfully change a light bulb, it's a miracle.
That's great.
Meanwhile, just to follow up, because we had talked about tipping the garbage men and the mailman, sanitation workers and postal workers, whatever the politically, the debacle I've had with the mailman. So I got the garbage men, no problem. One morning I waited, I heard the truck, boom, gave him the envelope, Merry Christmas, happy, boom, okay. Now, the mailman comes at like all different times. I haven't been able to like snag it. Today, finally, I saw the mail truck outside. So I run out and it wasn't my mail. I'm like, oh, I have a gift for the mailman. I go, you're not the regular mailman. No. They go, he's out for 3 months. He had knee surgery. So now.
That's a wrench thrown into things.
Now I said to myself, all right, well, now I'm getting my money back. Like, do I have to give the gift whenever he returns? What's
yes,
the policy?
You have to give. Yes, you have to give.
So
the
if
gift.
He comes back in the middle of March, I'm supposed to go out there with an envelope that says Happy Holidays?
Did the current guy or person
the current guy didn't want it? He didn't want to take it. He's like, I don't know when I'm going to see him.
Okay, and then also don't know. Good for him to turn that down, but you also don't know like if it actually gets delivered to the right.
And then like one of the neighbors came out, and she heard me talking, and she butts in and says, "Yeah, I didn't give anything this year because it's not the regular guy."
Also, maybe you do get a breather then. But
so I'm thinking I get a breather. I don't know.
But if you do that, you have to double up next year if it's the same person.
Well, if the guy had knee surgery too, who knows if he's coming back or what? You know, I don't know what. I got to track it, you know.
No, it's a good question. You probably said if you see him again, then I would. Something's got to be done.
I'm not proud. I opened the envelope and took the money out.
Oh, man. Well, you're not going to let it sit there for 3 months. But
right.
Still,
What
are you going to do if you see him again? Then what?
Well, it depends. If I don't see him till March or April, I think the statute of limitations is over.
Hey, you know, how you doing? You know, I'm sorry. I had a gift for you, but you missed your window.
Well, I could easily avoid him, too. I mean, yeah, I don't have to go see you. You know.
You're all a bad guy.
Yeah. All right. Any other topics we need to cover? I don't have anything else.
No, you tell me. I mean, I'm just excited. I'm focused on Wild Card Weekend, so that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, same here. Same here. Looking forward to it.
No new shows or anything like that, at least at this moment.
No new shows.
In a few weeks, I know I'll be looking for shows. Once football season is over, then it starts to become movie season and streaming season and all that stuff.
I know. No new shows. We'll talk about shows next week, maybe. All right. Sal, enjoy your week. We'll talk to you next week. Stay well.
You too. Feel better.
Good luck with your wages. I can't wait for your texts.
I'll talk to you later.
Goodbye. All right. My thanks to Troy Aikman and Sal Licata. If you've missed any recent episodes of the SI Media podcast, dip into the archives and check them out. Recent episodes include Jim Miller last week on ESPN's top-notch coverage during the tragedy with DeMar Hamlin. Well, ended up working out where Hamlin now is making unbelievable progress. But Jim Miller, we get into what happened that night when the injury had happened. We had our year-end, 2022 year-end spectacular third annual with Peter Schrager and Andrew Perloff 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago, Brian Curtis from The Ringer joined me for a sports media year-in-review episode. So check all those out. Subscribe to the SI Media Podcast. Leave a review on Apple, and I will read it on an upcoming episode of the SI Media Podcast. All right. That wraps it up. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.